It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or as we say in South America, Buenas tardes. So, hey, it's Monday, August 10th, 5:03 p.m. Pacific time. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. We got a lot of news to cover tonight. You know, we're off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We come back on Monday. We do our shows live, 5 p.m. Pacific, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'd love it if you join us. We have an 800 phone-in number. So if you're watching the show live and not pre-recorded and you want to call in and you have something to offer, the phone number is 800-930-2819. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can email me at mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. You know, I had a great weekend. I hope you did too. I was fortunate to play some golf and then watch the Professional Golf Association tournament that was in San Francisco, won by a youngster, a 23-year-old kid named Colin Moriwaki. forget that name. And anyways, it was quite a tournament. It was really a lot of fun for me because I played in a tournament there in February. So I just had a great weekend, a great time watching that. I just kind of relaxed and chilled. And then, of course, getting ready for the show today, looked at probably 100 news stories, picked out a few to go over with you, the ones that I think are most important. So we're super excited to be here. The show is doing really, really well. I thank you for that. If you like us, and please share it, subscribe, hit like, and hopefully we can keep growing and get this audience up there. And hopefully the end result is to make some sort of difference in this crazy world of ours. It's really getting out of control. So we're going to get into that right now. And we're going to study a little bit. We'll start the show with Antifa, Black Lives Matter. You know, it's really communism if you analyze it. It really has very little to do with racism. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think racism is ugly. It's wrong. It's terrible. But it's a very, very small percentage. And it exists in all cultures, all races, all religions. I mean, it's just the way people are. You know, the uneducated, we tend to judge people. Perhaps too severely, too harshly. To judge somebody by the color of their skin or what they believe is ridiculous. We are all programmed by the environment that we grow up in. And racism has no part in a society. But this isn't about racism, ladies and gentlemen. And the African-American community has been just destroyed by government and economic destruction. It's just not fair what's happened to that community. And it's been done by the United States government, in my opinion. It started with Lyndon Johnson, who was a racist, by the way. Hang on one second. I just got to turn something off here because we're having a little internet problem. I just got, by the way, we up in Seattle, we have the lovely Jessica is our producer today. And she just gave me a little note that the internet's a little choppy. So probably have too many devices online right now. So anyways, hopefully that picks up and gets better. So anyways, let's start with this Chicago video. Jessica, if you'd be so kind to play that video for me.
We got this thing!
Not the baby cars.
but the tactic does seem to be, for the most part, that people have been pulling up in vehicles. That's what we saw a short time ago, and what the alderman had said he had seen downtown this morning as well. I'm just not sure if they pulled up in vehicles as well, or if they came on foot. Now you can see they're leaving the store. We can see if they get into those vehicles or not. And they are getting into vehicles right there on the right-hand side of your screen. And those vehicles are pulling off. This is North and Clybourne. Other stores there. We've seen a Binnie's and a Pottery Barn and possibly an Ulta as well. We believe they've all been hit overnight. And this is very close to North and Clybourne, where we told you we'd watched two groups of looters going in there and looting that store. And it had already previously been looted as well, because the door was smashed on it. We watched the first group pull up in vehicles, two or three vehicles. They got out, they went in, they took whatever they were taking and got back into those vehicles. And then we watched a second group pull up and do exactly the same thing, pulled up in vehicles, went in. We saw six men in that group go in and take whatever they were taking and get back into those vehicles and take off. Now, we have seen a lot of closures downtown, a lot of restricted access downtown or to the downtown area. A lot of streets have been blocked off. We do know that some of the bridges are up right now. We believe Michigan, Columbus, Wabash and State are lifted. LaSalle and Clark, at last check, were still open. But if you are coming to the downtown area this morning, you're probably going to have to get around that if you need to get into the area at all. A lot of closures. The Ohio Feeder is closed off as well, blocking access to...
So it's just, I think it's been about almost 2 months since the George Floyd murder and death of George Floyd. And I went through this in Oakland. My business was destroyed there in Oakland and looted. And it had nothing to do with racism, ladies and gentlemen. It's an orchestrated event to, I believe, bring socialism, communism, Marxism to the United States to overthrow the rule of law. And it's happening primarily in Democratic cities, from the best I can tell. And I think the agenda there, one, they wanted to destroy Trump. They wanted to destroy families. They wanted to destroy America. With the America that I grew up in, and they want to bring in a new America, which has nothing to do with law and order, but it's violence. And I get it. The world is falling apart. So it's easy to recruit these kids nowadays. You know, it was easy for us to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and recruit these people because they have there's no hope. They've destroyed hope in this country with the unbelievable taxes, all the jobs that have left. And so it's easy to recruit these kids and pay them, you know, understand that George Soros pays them to come out and riot. We've seen last week, we showed a video of a white person going around breaking windows in an auto zone. So this is by design. I lived through this just a couple months ago in Oakland, and it's just not right. It's not right what they're doing in Chicago, and it's not right what they've been doing in Portland and Seattle. And so the question is, what are we going to do about it? We have an election coming up in November. And my question for you is, how do we keep sending the same people back year after year after year? How does Nancy Pelosi or John McCain, who's now deceased, but how do the same people keep getting elected, going back and doing a disservice to all of us, raising our taxes, spending us into oblivion, creating all these wars, and we just keep sending them back? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we got to wake up. We got to take some action. We got to learn the truth. And that's what this show is all about. So I'd love to have you on. I'd love to have you phone in. I'd love to have you send me an email if you want to come in and you want to talk about real solutions. We have real problems in this country. And the solutions, other than this election, are far and few between. And I think we're going to have to come together, quit fighting over the stupid stuff that we fight about, right, left, straight, gay, Christian, Muslim. No, we're all humans, and we're all Americans, and we need to come together, and we need to do something in this country, I believe, before it's too late. So I want to take this next video. Let's take a look at this video, Jessica, of Governor Cuomo in New York City.
Boy, is this New York doesn't have enough problems right now getting people to come back now this. And you have both the governor of New York and the mayor of New York weighing in on their concern about just that. Take a look.
I literally talk to people all day long who are now in the Hamptons house, who also lived here, or in their Hudson Valley house, or in their Connecticut weekend house. And I say, you got to come back. When are you coming back? We'll go to dinner. I'll buy you a drink, come over, I'll cook. They're not coming back right now. And you know what else they're thinking? If I stay there, they pay a lower income tax because they don't pay the New York City surcharge.
About the folks out in the Hamptons, I have to be very clear about this. We do not make decisions based on the wealthy few. That I was troubled to hear this concept that because wealthy people have a set of concerns about the city, that we should accommodate them, that we should build our policies and approaches around them. That's not how it works around here anymore.
Yeah, so I find that very, very interesting that they there's no law and order. The people with money have a way to leave. So they leave, they go to their second home, and now the governor wants them to come back and spend their money there and pay their taxes there, but they don't feel safe there. And then, of course, the mayor, who's completely a communist Marxist kind of fellow, you know, he's worth $2.5 million. He makes $260,000 a year as a mayor, plus his wife works there. So, you know, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They want our money. They want our taxes. But the moment we leave, because they can't protect us and they can't give us a safe place to live, they beg us to come back. So it's just the hypocrisy of it just makes me want to shake my head. So here's some good news, though, for at least for some people. Those that have lost faith in the United States dollar and the economy have been investing in gold and silver for a long time. So if you look at this article, it says the gold rally could forge ahead to $4,000. But an analyst says two events could turn its fortunes. One is this election that's coming up. So I think that if Trump loses and Biden gets in there, you know, you could see gold go back down. It's its highest level it's ever been right now. It's over $2,000 an ounce, highest it's ever been against the U.S. dollar. And it's the highest it's ever been against every other currency, the euro, the Colombian peso, you name it. Gold is at an all-time high. And there's a reason for that. It's real money. And silver, and I talked about this last week, but, you know, gold and silver, they come out of the ground. And for every 10 ounces of silver that you mine, you get 1 ounce of gold. But historically, they traded about 30 ounces to one. So that means it takes 30 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. Well, silver today is almost cracking $30 an ounce. And in March, middle of March, is down to $12 an ounce. So it's more than doubled the spot price since March, since COVID-19 hit. So at $30 and 30, that'd put $900 for gold, and gold's over 2,000. So it's about 70, 80 to one right now. So I think silver has a big upside. I'm giving you an example. I just bought a few coins maybe 2 months ago, some silver buffaloes. I paid like $18 for them. They're going for $33 today. So I think the silver and gold, precious metals, if you can take physical possession of them, is going to be a hedge if we get a lot of inflation in this country, which we could, the way the Fed is going, the way they're printing money with both hands right now to prop up this economy. So if you have some extra cash laying around, I strongly urge you to buy some gold and silver. I'm going to get into a little bit more of that later in the week. I subscribe to a lot of newsletters about financial, and I'm just share with you what I learn in there and what I'm doing financially. But you got to make your own decision on these things. But I will say this. I think the economy is being propped up right now with all this printing, and that we need to really look ahead after this election, after another stay-at-home order, which is probably right around the corner. What's going to happen to this economy? What about all these jobs, 50 million jobs unemployed since COVID-19 hit? So anyways, if you put up this next article, Jessica, the Fed's Kashkari advocates a 6-week economic lockdown to defeat the coronavirus. So now we get our advice. Our doctor's advice comes from the bankers now, are telling us what we need to do to beat this coronavirus. A Minneapolis Fed president, Neil Kashkari, is advocating a full economic shutdown for up to 6 weeks to halt the COVID-19 spread. Now, if you're like me and you believe that this COVID-19 is just another flu virus and it's just another thing and they're making a big deal out of it, and I believe it was created to cover up the collapse of this economy that was going to collapse anyways, because it's basically, there's so much debt and it's a fiat currency and they always collapse. It's a Ponzi scheme and they just ran out of time. They, you know, in 08 it started to crash and they just started kicking the can down the road and now they can't kick it anymore. So that's what I think this is all about. So he goes on to say, to be effective, the lockdown has to be as comprehensive and strict as possible. So basically everybody go home, stay home, lose your business. The government now, you know, they're going to give you an extra $400. They were giving you $600 for unemployment insurance on top of what it was before, which wasn't much. Now they're going to give it to four. If we look at that next article, Jessica, Trump orders 400 per week unemployment payments amid the COVID-19 crisis. See, you got Pelosi in the Congress and the Republicans. They couldn't get together with the Senate and come up with a bill that would make sense because they want to put all this other stuff in there. You know, they want to bail out all these Democratic cities that aren't run right, that are deeply in debt, that want to defund the police, that have all these rioters and looters. They can't control their own city. They just can't. And now they're devastated with debt and they're out of money and they want the government to give them money because they can't do their job and just put us deeper and deeper in the hole. Last time I looked, the U.S. debt clock, I think it was $26.5 trillion. Go to usdebt.org and just watch that clock. Watch that money. And that's debt that you owe, I owe, we all owe. And it's ruining this country. And then once interest rates go back up, they're like at 0% right now, but just the interest alone is going to just destroy us. So Trump orders 400 per week unemployment. And so he did an executive order because Congress is sitting there doing nothing, fighting over a stimulus bill. And he says, hey, screw this. So he just creates an executive order and he's going to give everybody an extra $400. So if you run unemployment, you're getting an extra $600 from the government over and above the regular $200 or $300 it is a week. It was almost up to $50,000 a year. It's probably going to be closer to $38,000 a year now. So now one good thing as an employer that I like, you know, he's doing away with the payroll tax. Now payroll tax is what we pay in Social Security. So I think as an employer, I pay 6 or 7%. As you as the employee or the employee pays another 6 or 7%. So it's almost 15% that the government collects for, it's supposed to go for our Social Security. Which they keep changing the rules, keep raising, you know, how old you got to be to get it, so on and so forth. So, and the other thing is Medicare. So basically now I love Nancy Pelosi. She comes out and she says, Trump is getting rid of Social Security. And he's getting rid of Medicare. But when that happened back, I think it was 2012, she was all for it. Okay. When they did away with the payroll tax to stimulate the economy. She was all for it. Now that Trump's doing it, is the worst thing. They're getting rid of Social Security. They're getting rid of Medicare. No, all they're doing is giving us a little break. So if you're an employee, your take-home pay is going to go up like 7-8%. And if you're an employee, you're going to save that 7-8%, which we all need to do right now because there's no business. Business has gone south. So I think it's a good thing, but it's we're just kicking the can down the road. It's going to have a ramifications that you can't even imagine. When this bubble bursts, they just keep blowing this bubble up, blowing it. And it's just going through the roof. So this next article is written by David Stockman. I have a lot of respect for this guy. He works with Doug Casey's International Man. And these guys are really smart. And he says the biggest threat to your prosperity and what you can do. And he puts all the blame on the Federal Reserve. So listen to this. Let me put my glasses on here, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. It's great to be getting old. How do we get 50 million people unemployed and the stock market at record high? How does that happen? How do 50 million people lose their job and the stock market goes through the roof? C- companies trashing their balance sheets to buy back stock and do these overpriced buying other companies. It's insane. So they go out and, like General Motors, for example, they go out and they borrow money so that they can buy back their stock. It makes absolutely no sense. And research and development for new products, that goes out the window, because then they got to have enough money to pay dividends so people keep buying the stock. The whole thing is a Ponzi scheme and it's about ready to explode. The rapidly spreading dysfunction is rooted in the giant financial fraud embedded in the Federal Reserve's $7 trillion balance sheet. Now listen to this. In the robustly growing GDP of 1987, we needed $5 of central bank money per $100 of GDP. There is no reason why that ratio should have differed in 2008 or 2020, but it did, and it does. In June of 1987, the nominal GDP was $4.8 trillion, and by all current estimates, it clocked in at $19.4 trillion in June of 2020. So it grew from $4.8 trillion in 87 to $19.4 trillion in 2020. That's a lot of growth. That's 4.1% expansion over 33 years. Not bad. But in contrast, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet stood at about $240 billion on the eve of Greenspan's arrival at the Fed in 1987. And then this year, it's clocked in at $7.2 trillion. They've added $7.2 trillion in debt. This is the Federal Reserve, not the U.S. debt, okay, to their balance sheet. That's a 30x gain. So to get an increase in GDP in our business here in America, four-time X increase, we had to spend 30 times more money, just printed out of thin air, all debt to UOIO, and it's never going to get repaid. It's going to be a huge default. So the Fed is now a rogue institution that compromises a clear and present danger in the future of prosperity and liberty. You know, if we're broke, if we're a third world nation, you think we can afford this military that goes all over the world and does these things? No. The tragedy is that the clueless speculators on Wall Street and the politicians of Washington who are riding the most egregiously inflated financial bubble ever don't even get it. Or they do, and they don't care. And that's where the problem is. What are we going to do about this? They just keep printing and printing and printing. And now, okay, they just sent $1,200 to people. They're just giving this payroll tax holiday. They're keeping funding unemployment. This cannot go on forever, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty soon, this inflation is deflation, inflation, stagflation. It's all going to get us, and we're all going to be standing in a bread line if we don't do something. And, you know, it's just very sad to me. You know, I worked my entire life and played by the rules, paid my taxes, did everything properly, and to be left holding this big bag of debt. And, you know, it's one thing for me, you know, to be able to survive this, but I have four kids. I have six grandkids. What about the future of our children and our grandchildren in this country? That's the big problem we have here. And if we don't get a grip on, if we don't get some real politicians, some real leaders back there, and then that goes locally too, your local community, your city, your county, your state, and your federal government. If we don't get act now, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be no stopping the bust of this bubble. And when it busts, it's going to be ugly. All right, Jessica, if you'd be so kind, I really love this one. This guy is Brian Stelter of CNN. Play this video if you will, Jessica.
This is happening in all directions, but it is especially extreme, especially vitriolic on the right, directed at Joe Biden and directed at other Democrats right now. You know, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
There really isn't.
Come on.
It f-ing sucks to be out here with this out of control shit.
I'm not here to claim Joe Biden's perfect. He screwed up a couple times in an interview with minority journalists from NABJ and NAHJ earlier this week.
They're really showing themselves to do really well. Come on, man.
So I don't even know what to say about this guy. Like I've said 100 times, I'm not a big Trump fan. I'm definitely not a Biden fan. I really don't like politicians, period. I really don't know any good ones or see any of them doing us any favors here in this world. But man, it's nonstop 24/7 destroy Trump. You know, they went on for hours just because the man couldn't pronounce the word Yosemite. Now, I'm sure like me, you know, you've gotten stuck on words before and they just don't come out of our mouth properly and we get stuck, we go brain dead, whatever, you know, but to destroy a man over this, I mean, I saw hours, you know, the guy couldn't present, couldn't pronounce Yosemite, you know, it's nonstop with this guy from Rachel Maddow to Brian Williams to Chris Cuomo attacking this guy nonstop, you know, and all he's trying to do is trying to save this country. You know, he's only been there 3.5 years. These other politicians have been there 30, 40 years. OK, Joe Biden, 30, 40 years. And you can go to the right too. McConnell, Rand Paul, his father. It's all the same. Only thing that changes is the names. But it's just one big game they play back there to take our taxes, take our money, take our freedoms. But this guy cracks me up. This guy, you know, I'm assuming he was referring to Fox News, but whatever he is, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's 3 or 4 to 1 against this guy. All right, let's move on to his next article. So this is the Federal Election Commissioner. Substantial chance of no results on election night. This is going to be such a mess. First of all, now they're talking that I don't think they're having conventions. Biden's going to accept the nomination at home, I think. I don't think even Trump's going to a convention anymore. It was going to be in Jacksonville. I think that's been squashed. Now they're talking about all this, you know, mail-in voting. I mean, this is 2020 in the United States of America, and we can't find out a simple way, a fair way to vote? Come on. You know, you don't know who the citizens are? We have a Social Security number. You know who pays taxes. You know who gets a paycheck. All this technology, geniuses like Bill Gates and all these bright minds and Bezos and all these other people and Fauci, the godlike person running the science in this world. We can't figure out a fair way to vote. And, you know, you have to have a license. Everything. I'm a car salesman. I have to have a license to sell cars. You have to have a license to cut hairs. You know, but you don't have to show any ID to vote. I mean, none of this makes any sense to me, just from a common sense, practical sense. And now they're talking about the woman's name is Ellen Weintraub, and she warned Monday that there's a substantial chance results for the presidential and down ballot races may not be known on election night, as voters will likely shift to more mail-in ballots amid the coronavirus pandemic. And then I was reading today, I forget the city, it might have been Chicago, actually. They just found 20,000 driver's licenses that were mailed in bulk, you know, to be distributed so people could vote. I think it was New York or New Jersey. You know, they had a big mess counting the ballots, the mail-in ballots for a primary. I mean, this is nuts, ladies and gentlemen. We can't come up with a system to vote in this country that's fair and honest and legitimate. You know, I've read many articles that the voting machines, the electronic ones, are can be hacked and rewired and results are changed. You know, I mean, we go back to JFK and, you know, they talked about the mob stuffed the ballot votes in Chicago. And that's why he got elected. And then he turned on him and, well, he's no longer with us. So it just makes no sense. But just imagine what's going to happen. Who matter who wins, what's going to happen to this country, especially if Trump wins? You know, I find it fascinating. You know, everything I read, it looks like an easy Trump victory, but Las Vegas has Biden favored. You bet 170 to win 100. If you bet 100 on Trump, you get 150. So they have Biden as a very heavy favorite. But if Trump wins, I think BLM and Antifa and all these people are going to go crazy. And I don't know what happens if Biden wins, if they're going to accept it, you know. I read the other day where if they don't resolve this thing right away, you know, remember the hanging chads, I think it was 2000 election with Al Gore and George Bush. I mean, if they don't resolve this in a timely manner, I think Nancy Pelosi eventually becomes president. So just think about that if you would. So the whole thing is crazy. So let's talk about the other side for a minute. I have an article here on for the Biden family, a history of tax problems. Hunter Biden hit with a $450,000 tax lien last month, the latest in a series of tax problems for Biden family members. So the government, I think it was Washington, D.C., state income tax, local tax, they put a lien on this guy for $450,000. Now, you might remember that he was in court maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year ago with some woman that he impregnated, and she had the baby and then went after him for child support. First, he had to prove he was the father, which eventually it came out that he was. And then he said, well, I'm broke. I got no money. He paid this lien off in 6 days. 6 days, $450,000. Where did that come from? Just laying around, but he tells the court he's broke over here. Man, it's unbelievable. The younger Biden owed $238,000 in state income taxes from 2017 and $215,000 in state income taxes from 2018. Excuse me. According to records from the District of Columbia's Office of Tax and Revenue, the District of Columbia filed a $453,000 lien against him on July 9th. Man. And then, you know, you have all this Burisma stuff and he's sitting on the board and he's making $75,000-$80,000 a month. I wonder if he paid taxes on that. How did he get that gig? What influence did his father have? You know, I'm sure most of you have seen the video where the dad says, hey, you know, if they don't fire this guy, the prosecutor that was investigating Burisma for fraud, Biden says, hey, if you don't fire this guy by the time I leave town tonight at 5 p.m., you're not going to get $1 billion from Barack Obama for Ukraine for some special needs. Man, you know, this government, this pay for play, it's just out of control. And they're all criminals, left and right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not just picking on the Democrats, okay? Bush Sr. was one of the biggest criminals of all time. Bush Jr., Clinton, Obama, they're all crooks. They're all crooks. And goes on and talks about James Biden, who's the brother of Joe Biden. He had a huge tax lien, $589,000. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And they're just crooks. And what are we going to do about it? You know, I'm very frustrated today because it's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. What's going on in these cities, what's going on financially in this country, and no one cares. We're fighting about these stupid masks and some flu virus that 99.8% or 99.7% people survive. And it really only kills the people that have other problems, mostly elderly or diabetes or obesity. Hey, listen, death is not a good thing, but people die of disease every day. And to ruin this country over this and what we're doing to our kids, not being able to go to school, and the suicides are way through the roof, and alcoholism and domestic abuse, so on and so forth. So anyways, let's move on to the next story. So this has to do with the Spygate, Obamagate, whatever you want to call it. And this article is goes on and on and on. We're going to put a link to the story here. This has to do with Carter Page, Stefan Halper, who wrote the Steele dossier. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how you slice it or dice it or shake it or bake it. They were spying on this Trump administration. And they wanted Michael Flynn out, and they got him out. He knew too much. They created this Steele dossier out of just thin air to destroy Trump. They destroyed a lot of other people along the way. And one thing I know about the federal government is they got all the time and all the money. And if they want to get you, they're going to get you. And that's just the way it is. And they lie, they cheat, they steal. There's no ethics. There's no integrity. The way they go after people in this country. And it happens time after time after time. But this whole thing, this article is fascinating, that the way they went after these people, especially Flynn. You know, that case is still going on. I think they're going to rule tomorrow, I think, finally. But this Emmett Sullivan, this judge in this case, you know, the DOJ said throw it out. He just won't let it go. They want this guy in the worst way, and they just won't give up. They broke him financially. They smeared his name. He was a from what I understand, a really good general, a really good patriot of this country. And they just set him up. And the FBI, I mean, they went and they interviewed him and they go back and they go, the guy's not lying to us. They still kept going after him and making stuff up, changing reports. And what do we do? Nothing, 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 nothing. So here's another article. Bill Barr, actually, this is a good video. I encourage you, we'll give you the link. I encourage you to look at this. But this is Bill Barr being interviewed by the TV commentator Mark Levine. He's got a big radio show, but he also does a Sunday night special on Fox. And I just happened to see this today. And basically, you know, Barr, the reason Mark Levine had him on is Barr just sat in front of Congress and got grilled really good. I think he was there almost all day long. They accused him of being a murderer. This is Bill Barr, Attorney General, and I'm not a fan of his either, by the way, okay? But he's the Attorney General of the United States. Second time, I think 25, 30 years ago, he was Attorney General before. And they call him a murderer and a terrorist because he's trying to do his job. And, you know, they get into what's happening with Antifa. And he says to the Congress, he says, do you think it's okay for Antifa and these protesters to destroy and burn down federal courthouses? And not one congressman would answer that question. I saw Fauci being grilled by Congress. And I think it was Jim Jordan was grilling him, saying, hey, you know, you're telling people they can't go to church. You're telling people that, you know, they got to wear these masks. But what about these protesters? Should they be protesting? Well, I can't comment on that. I mean, it goes on for like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Fauci's like, and they keep asking every single way, should these protesters not be doing this? Is this not social distancing? And he just wouldn't say it. It's like these people want to defend the overthrow of these cities and bring as much harm to the populace, the community, that they can. And for some reason, I think they enjoy it. Now, if you study history and you study what they do to overthrow countries in the past, what happened to Russia after World War II, this is a tactic. You know, they destroy the history. They're getting rid of all the monuments and they destroy our history. And they're demoralizing the heck out of us. If you look at any type of communist overthrow, you look what just happened to Venezuela. I mean, that happened like in 20 years. And, you know, you demoralize the people, you wreck the currency, you wreck the economy, you get rid of the history, you pay these young kids to protest and to destroy things. And then it's an orchestrated event. And I have to say, I think they're doing a really good job. If you're on their team, I would say they're winning and we're not. And that's concerning for me as an American with a family and children and grandchildren. And he goes on to say, you know, this Antifa, this is about communism. This is about the overthrowing of America. And he doesn't hold back any punches. And it's all about politics. And these politicians, they don't care about the ones that are pro-Antifa and pro-protests and all that. They don't care. You know, I think they're happy. If you look at Nancy Pelosi's district, and I don't mean just pick on her. I think they're all, you know, you could say this for all of them probably. But if you look at her district in San Francisco, I mean, it's terrible. You know, human feces all over the place, needles all over the place. I just want to know who votes for her, you know, or Maxine Waters or the turtle. We'll go with some Republicans, the turtle, McConnell. John McCain, who votes for these people? That's what I want to know. And we keep sending the same people back there. In fact, I was just reading, I don't think I included this in this report, but one of the congressmen, a new one, said, man, our hands are tied. We come here and they just divide and conquer us. We can't get anything done here. This government is broke, ladies and gentlemen, super broke. And we're almost at the end of it. And it's pretty soon it's not going to matter anymore if we don't get together and do something. And the only thing I can think to do right now is this next election. Don't send anybody back there, okay? We need to get rid of these people. All right, let's move on to this article from Citizen Free Press. And so I have to show you this. This is just one little article, maybe a couple pages. But when I print it, there's like 80 pages because of the comments. And this is a good one. And this just, for me, says it all. What's wrong with this country and where we're headed. No criminal charges for John Brennan. Now, we know he lied to Congress, okay, under oath. That's a crime. That's what they're getting Michael Flynn for. He lied to the FBI. I don't even know if you think he was under oath. He wasn't. He just lied to the FBI, allegedly, even though they say he didn't. That's what they charged him with. But this Durham report is supposed to come out early September, late August, early September. Man, I'll be shocked if Comey's indicted, Clapper, Brennan, they already said he's not. It's one big club, okay? You know, you look at William Barr, he's part of the club. They're all part of the club. You know, his father, Epstein, worked with his father, okay? At Barr's father was an educator, and Epstein worked there. This goes so deep. This swamp, and let's assume Trump's a good guy and he's really there to drain the swamp, which we don't know, but that's what we want to believe. But it's just too big. That swamp is too big. And we have all these psyops. We have the one we can't even talk about on air, and that's the 17th letter of the alphabet. And we can't talk about that. I believe it's a psyop. I believe it's keeping everybody, you know, calm. The other thing that's confusing is all these arrests of these pedophiles, which I applaud. I think is great. Should have happened years ago. Is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. You have Weinstein in Hollywood, you have Maxwell and Epstein, and you have the Nexium and the Seagrams. I mean, you know, all these elite pedophilia is how they kind of stick together and rule the world. That's coming out, but is it all coming out? Or are they just throwing shade on the really big ones by getting the middle ones and keeping us all, you know, hopeful that this is going to stop and these kids are going to keep quit disappearing and being abused? And, you know, I keep referencing this book, The Transformation of America, but I do yourself a favor, get it, have the courage, the guts, the stomach to read it, and you're going to see a whole different country than the one that, you know, we go around think that we're a part of. So anyways, all right, now we're going to get into some crazy little stories. So I love this one, Defying the Virus. Thousands of motorcyclists flood into a small U.S. town. So I think I want to say 10,000, 60,000, large amount of motorcyclists are driving up to South Dakota in the town of Sturgis. It's a 10-day rally, hundreds of thousands of bikers to socialize. So they're going, they're not wearing masks. You know, they kind of think COVID-19 is a bunch of BS. South Dakota, site of the famed massive sculpture of four former presidents on Mount Rushmore, where President Donald Trump held a rally last month, is one of the few to have never ordered a lockdown or insisted on mask wearing. So it might be the freest place in America. So if I was a motorcyclist and I had some time on my hands, I might drive up there with them. What's interesting is they got to go through the Sioux Nation, and there's like five tribes that are going to try and stop them. So who knows where this is headed, but you're going to have cowboys and Indians right there on the way to South Dakota. But I just find it very interesting that these guys are still doing this, and they're saying the heck with your COVID-19 and the heck with this plandemic, this scamdemic, we're going, and we'll just see what happens. That's an interesting article. So here's one that's near and dear to my heart. This is from Citizen Free Press, which is a great site, by the way, Citizen Free Press. Breaking, the Big Ten cancels college football. So I printed an earlier article over the weekend, the Mid-American Conference, which is the Midwest, they canceled their football season. I think last year I covered on this show that the University of Connecticut had canceled their season. So I don't think we're having college football. I did see where the quarterback for LSU, I forget his name right now, he's been tweeting all day, hey, let us play. Worst things are going to happen if we don't play football. You know, all these kids are going to go home. They're not going to social distance. We're going to spread the virus more that way. Let us play football. Can you imagine, you know, especially a kid like this LSU quarterback, I wish I could remember his name, but he just had a great season. going to go top in the NFL, tons of money, and probably not get to play this year, man, that is super sad. But with that said, I'm super happy that from what I read, nobody is supporting Major League Baseball. Nobody is supporting the National Basketball Association. I'm a little on the fence about the NFL, but you know what? I've had it with all these high-paid athletes that they just don't, to me, know what's really going on in the world, you know, and are a mouthpiece of the powers to be, and they forgot where they came from, okay? I mean, they came from where we are, you know. Now they're in the big club. We're not in it, but they're in it, and so they got to play the game. And all this kneeling, all this disrespectful of the flag, it just doesn't belong in sports, in my opinion. You know, I had a great time watching this golf tournament. There was none of that stuff going on. There were no fans there, which made it different. That's all. But I find it very interesting how we politicize everything from baseball to basketball. I mean, and it's not making any difference. It's doing more harm than good. Take that time and that energy and that money and go into the inner city. Look at what the world problems is, LeBron James and whoever else is, you know, is really big in this. Go into that city. You know, that's what I love about Magic Johnson. You know, he invests his money into the inner city. He never left. He's still there. He's still a part of it. And that's what we have to do. I mean, I've been in Oakland for 24 years. The problems are fixable. But we need to get together with good, solid plans and good, solid people and help these, especially these kids, and teach them real skills and how to get jobs and how to work and give them hope and give them tools. And that's what we need to do. Instead of kneeling and all that stuff, no, we need to go into the inner city and we need to support programs that already exist and need money, but they're already existing. People with big hearts are in the inner cities doing great work and trying to help. There's just not enough of them. And for every good person that goes into the inner city and tries to make a difference, the government squashes them. That's where the problem is. We need a groundswell of people that care, that have a big heart, to go into these inner cities and try to make a difference and teach these kids. All right, let's move on to my favorite subject, which is we've covered the riots in Antifa. We've covered Black Lives Matter. We can't covered politics and Biden and all that stuff. But now let's move to my favorite, which is COVID-19. Jessica, would you be so kind as to play the 2001 A Mask Odyssey?
Hello, Hal, do you read me?
Open the pod bay door, Hal. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. What's the problem? I think you know that you are required to wear a face mask to enter this location. It's just you and me, Hal. This man-made virus is largely asymptomatic and has a greater than 99% recovery rate. Put on a mask, you psychopath.
There's no law mandating that, Hal.
Don't be selfish. Your mask protects me. It's for the greater good. It doesn't matter that masks do not stop viral pathogens. What's important is that you show your complacency and capitulation to your corporate overlords. Don't you believe in science?
I really think that you're overreacting here.
Dave, you really need to listen to the experts. Tom Hanks, Rachel Maddow. They will let us know when this crisis is over. We depend on experts like Chris Cuomo to interpret the CDC data and regurgitate talking points and propaganda designed to demoralize the nation so they can usher in a globalist one-world government with top-down control. All right, Hal. Let me go back to my car to get my mask.
Without your space helmet, Dave, we're going to find that rather difficult.
I really feel like that guy. I think I said a couple weeks ago, you know, I just learned to accept the fact that I have to wear a mask to do certain things. And you see how they beat you down? That That guy brought up a lot of good points. You know, it's a disease with 99% of people survival rate. We got to listen to the experts, Rachel Maddow and Chris Cuomo, and we can add Fauci and all those guys to it as well. Tom Hanks. But really, if you look at it from 30,000 feet and you study Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and New World Order, which George H.W. Bush talked a lot about, if you read the book, George Orwell's 1984, Aldous Huxley's book, this is where we're headed. If we don't wake up and do something, this is where they're taking us. And one world government, top-down control. And I don't know. What are we going to do? Keep fighting over who wears a mask? I heard a new term. I love it. What was it? Oh, don't be a mask hole. You know, and I think you can say that for both sides, you know, the ones that say, hey, the masks are worthless. And there's lots of doctors and scientists that say, hey, it doesn't do a darn bit of good. And of course, we have all these talking heads on TV say you have to wear a mask. And what I love, and this is how I know this is a scam. Every big corporation now is on this thing. Okay. I watch a National Car ad and they're all wearing masks. So tomorrow I want to get into vaccines. I prepared a whole thing on vaccinations and what they're doing. You know, they're doing this Moderna vaccination right now on live people. They skipped the animals and they went straight to live people. And it's very, very fascinating what's happening, the results, who they're using. So the Moderna one, they took 45 people, three groups of 15, the healthiest people they could find. Okay, which aren't the ones getting the vaccine, aren't the ones that need it. It's people with diabetes and obesity that they really should be testing on this. But even these really healthy people are getting sick. Man, I'll tell you, and you know, I'd say half Americans aren't going to take it, at least now. And the fastest vaccine of all time, I think, took 4 years. This one they've been testing since March. And so they're trying to get it by the election. Doesn't look like they're going to have it. But they're definitely going to have it by next year. And will you take it? You know, and how much proof do you need? You know, they don't even use placebos on these kids. I'm going to get in deep tomorrow on the vaccinations. So if you have children or families that have been children, vaccine injury children or from HPV vaccine or anybody that's been injured, tomorrow's going to be a great show. I'm going to take a deep dive into vaccines and it's going to be quite interesting. So In ending the show today, I just want you to remember, things look bleak, but that's the physical world, okay? But who we really are is if we move into our heart and move out of our head, and we move to our heart, this is who we really are. We're timeless, we're eternal, we're consciousness, we can't die, we're eternal. And this is where the peace is. And so think about that until it feels right. And the longest, shortest journey that we ever have to take, the hardest journey, but it's very short, is 18 inches from here to here. So I invite you to consider all that. And here is who you really are. And you are peace and love and joy. And as long as you hold on to your soul, that's what this is about. This world and the physical will test you to hang on to your soul. And the more we can get out of here and use this, I'm not saying this isn't any good. We live here and then use this to create the life of our dreams instead of this affecting our emotions and getting us in a bad state. So until tomorrow at 5:03 Pacific time, this is Mike Murphy. You're watching Get Real, and go out there and make it the best night of your life.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.